You're listening to the Physics Ed Podcast. For hundreds of ideas, free experiments and more, go to physicseducation.com.au. And now, here's your host, Ben Newsom.
Yes, welcome again for another Phys Ed podcast. Hey, glad to have you again for another chat around science and STEM and all that sort of thing. Hey, this week we're talking about the TI Codes contest, which has been going for the last 2 years in the US, but guess what? It's headed down into Australia. You can get involved, and more importantly, you can get your students involved, and it's all about getting kids interested and engaged in STEM. And this week we get to speak with Peter Belita, who is the president of TI Education Technology, which is heading up the whole competition, and it's a really interesting chat. So let's hear from Peter, hear about just why is TI Education Technology involved in this, and why would you want to get kids into STEM? And let's be honest, why wouldn't you? So let's get into the chat.
This is the Physics Ed Podcast. We're all about science, ed tech and more. To see 100 fun free experiments you can do with your class, go to physicseducation.com.au. That's physics spelled F-I-Z-Z-I-C-S. And click 100 free experiments.
Well, you know, first and foremost, Ben, I'm basically dedicated to transforming the way teachers teach and students learn STEM concepts. So what I do is I'm president of Education Technology, a business at Texas Instruments, and there I get to lead teams that are focused on providing the best technology and resources to help students develop a strong foundation in maths and science, and we do that to set them up for success in a world that we know increasingly demands STEM skills. Also get to lead our university marketing and research program, and so this involves collaborating with engineering departments, you know, PhD students on technology research projects, and really bringing in engineering concepts to life for undergraduate engineering students. And we do that through hands-on workshops that integrate TI technology into coursework, the exact same technology that customers use in their products in the real world of engineering design. So that's what I do at TI.
Yeah, awesome. And I've got to ask, you're a former teacher, which is awesome because obviously that means if you've been in the classroom, you kind of know the classroom a bit. How'd you end up I always was curious about the pathways as how people end up in what they end up doing currently. What made you just drop and head off into the world outside of the classroom?
You know, first, you're right. Prior to TI, I was a maths and science STEM supervisor for a school board in Canada. And then prior to that, I was a math teacher. I taught secondary mathematics to a bunch of kids up in Canada. And so I guess you can say that I've always been on a mission to inspire students to fall in love with math and science and to equip teachers with the tools that they need to help students, engineer the future and make our world a better place. And so now I'm fortunate to work for a company that is focused on STEM, really, you know, on inspiring STEM understanding in ways that are meaningful and fun and relevant for students. Now, how I came about TI, to be honest, you know, when I was working for the school board, one of the things we were doing is looking at our technology plan. And so amongst the technologies, we were looking at graphing calculators. And so we did an assessment of, you know, the different graphing calculators out there. And so we chose TI. And, you know, along with my colleagues, we went and got some professional development and training on the use of those products. And then, you know, we in turn went around and trained all of the teachers in our school boards and other school boards. And then, you know, folks across districts across Canada were starting to ask me to give workshops to their school boards. And I found I really love doing that. I really love working with teachers, helping them teach, you know, difficult to teach and sometimes hard to learn concepts in math and science. And then, you know, I was starting to get asked to do similar workshops in parts of the United States. And, you know, after about a year or two, Texas Instruments kind of knocked on the door and said, Peter, how would you like to do this full time? And, you know, it was kind of like, I love teaching, reaching out to the kids that were in my classrooms and then, you know, at the district level, the teachers in my school board. But now I feel like I could impact, you know, millions of students and teachers every year. And so I said yes. And that was in 2000, you know, a short 20 years later. It's been loads of fun, many different roles, many different parts of the world. It's been fantastic and to continue working with teachers pretty much every day. I love it.
That's awesome. I've got to also think, just, I mean, over that span, geez, you must have seen some technological change. In behind, now you're doing it at the R&D. I mean, things have changed somewhat over the years. I mean, does it take a lot of effort? But the reason why I ask this is sometimes we've got to actually have students listening in as well. I mean, when it comes to R&D, I mean, does it take a long time before you finally get a product out to market and that sort of thing? Or is it sometimes like, you know what, I can repurpose this thing really quickly. How does that sort of work?
You know, in terms of speed of innovation, it's all over the place. It could be very quick. In fact, you know, with COVID-19, we turned around a beta version of an app for Chromebooks because all of a sudden teachers around the world had to figure out how to teach all of their kids virtually. So we quickly got together and helped them do that. You know, we know that basically kids are using their graphing calculators while they're on Zoom calls like we are. There's only so much you can do with a laptop or Chromebook, and so that dedicated tool continues to be helpful. But when teachers are presenting, they wanted tools that they could use on their laptops, on their Chromebooks, in Zoom-type meetings. And so we cranked that out literally within a couple months. Now, in fairness, we had been working on it, you know, a year or so in the past, but it was more of a R&D type fun project. But this really, you know, had us, really pushed us to innovate and get it out there quickly when the need was there. So literally, a week before schools were going to come back virtually, we had it out there and reached out to all of the school boards and school districts, in pretty much every market, and let them know that this was coming, so that they could incorporate it into their lesson plans and how they were going to tackle teaching in a COVID world. So that's just one example. But Ben, you know, your question about how we treat R&D, you know, essentially our focus is understanding teachers. Not only do we ask teachers, you know, what's difficult to teach, what are they finding kids struggling with, but we watch them in classrooms, and we do that around the world. And then we put forth some technology for them to criticize, you know, give us friendly critical feedback.
That's cool.
And they do. And then we take that feedback, we iterate on the technology, we bring it back in the classroom, and we just keep going through that cycle. And honestly, Ben, it never ends. We keep doing that. And I think that's why, you know, we're the most trusted technology in the math and science classroom.
Yeah, it turns out the cycle, I mean, the design thinking process and all that engineering process design, it is a thing, and it is, you know, it is iterative. It is a thing that keeps on growing and growing and growing. I love that you take a lot of feedback from people on the ground, because, hey, how else are you going to get the feedback? They're the best people to do it. Absolutely. And one of the things I really love about what you're doing is it's not just here's some graphing calculators. You've launched a really cool contest, and it's around food themes. Tell me a bit about this, because this is a really interesting contest that's come up.
Yes, I will be happy to tell you about the contest, and you are absolutely right that we develop much more than the graphing calculators.
Exactly.
You know, we're about helping kids understand the world around them, and what better way of doing that than to provide probes and sensors that kids could use to collect real data, the data around them, and that's how you get a better understanding of the world that you live in. So
yeah.
A lot of probes and sensors, programming, robotics, microcontrollers, all of that. But, we are super excited about the TI Codes contest. And so, in August, you've heard, we launched our very first ever TI Codes contest in Australia. And the food theme coding competition challenge, it challenges students in years 7 and 10 to use their STEM skills to automate or optimize a food-related process. Of course, using TI technology. And, you know, whether students are learning virtually or in a classroom, the TI Codes contest is just a perfect way for secondary students to work together to solve a real-world problem. And, you know, in the face of COVID-19, we're hoping that this coding competition will really take students' minds off what's happening in the world around them and perhaps inspire them to pursue a career in STEM. You know, now, more than ever, we're seeing the need to develop future problem solvers and creative thinkers that can make our world safer, healthier, and just a better place in general.
What I love about competitions is it really allows kids to explore you know, creatively a solution, not just giving here is your standard set of instructions, fill the procedure out and get an answer at the end. They've got to think, they've got to come up with their own ideas, which is really, really, really cool. And I know the US version of this competition just wrapped up. I mean, what sort of things got produced by some of the students? I'm just very curious about that.
Oh, you know, it's everywhere, you know, there's no cookie cutter, you know, solution for this. And kids have designed, you know, some drones, for example, that will, you know, check out things, and collect and send data back, real world data for analysis. We've had some teams in the past work on using the exact same technology that engineers use on the International Space Station. We had kids doing that in high schools. Of course, we have kids in universities doing that all the time. Mm. But we had kids in high schools doing that. In fact, even all through secondary school. You know, you talked about the U.S., and I imagine this is also perhaps a challenge in Australia, but you know, we did design this so that teams can compete virtually also. And that's important. And, you know, you refer back to the U.S. version of the competition. We just wrapped that up. And we had students from several different states meet online and form a team. And that team that kind of came from all over the place, they're the team that actually won. And so it was really cool. And so we wanted to do something fun and challenging to give kids an opportunity to connect and collaborate with others and make learning remotely a little less lonely and a lot more fun. And so I love these competitions. I think it gives, you know, kids the skills that prior generations just didn't have. And, you know, I don't need to tell you that STEM jobs are growing exponentially faster than non-STEM jobs, and STEM literacy is just no longer optional, right? So, you know, I joke around here, and I hope that this is not offending anyone in Australia, but, you know, coding isn't just for nerdy kids anymore.
Nah.
I think it's cool to be nerdy, right? But it's a skill that all kids need, and no matter what career they choose. So I see coding as a third language, or at least a second language that all students should understand. And so back to your question about, you know, what's possible in these coding contests. There is no limit to what's possible. It's really all driven by the student's imagination. And you know, we kind of coach them along the way, but we are just excited to see what these kids are going to do in Australia with this first ever contest.
Well, what's really cool about this is you're really producing a bridge between industry and the students. You're actually seeing how does a thing get produced, how do you code something, how do you, you know, solve a problem? And so I was just wondering, I mean, what is today, what do students need from industry?
You know, what do students need from industry? You know, that's a really good question. I often think about what does industry need for students, but you know, I think today's students, you know, if you back up and look at STEM jobs, they're growing so fast, and workers in STEM fields, they're in high demand. And as you know, I'm a maths guy, so I love data, and I often like to look at the facts around the opportunity to grow STEM talent. And so the fact is, STEM occupations are just projected to grow 9% by 2024, and that's compared to 6% for non-STEM occupations. Mm. But another fun fact, STEM workers command higher wages, earning up to 29% more than their non-STEM counterparts. So basically, STEM skills are survival skills for kids today, and really, as I mentioned earlier, an incomplete understanding of STEM, that equates to an incomplete understanding of the world around them. And so we can't have kids, and we know that we can't have kids backing away from math and science. So we need to help bring these subjects to life. And we need to do that for our students. We need to help open their eyes to the potential of exciting STEM careers. They hear about all these, you know, electrical engineering. Well, what is it? And, you know, we want them to know that the reality is there will be thousands of STEM jobs, you know, at TI, in tech, and in other STEM industries in need for qualified candidates in years to come. And, you know, the same story will be repeated across the world, right? We have to ensure that our students are prepared and capable to meet this this growing demand. And now, of course, every year at TI, we hire hundreds of university students at our sites around the world. We do that as part of our recruiting talent pipeline development strategy. At TI, we recruit from universities with top departments in our hiring areas. So, of course, engineering, but also finance, marketing. I came from education. And other countries in science and technology sectors, they're doing the exact same thing. So it's incredibly important that there be strong connections between industry and education. And that's what we try to do every step of the way.
Well, that's it. And that's one of the things I love about what classroom teachers do is trying to get those core skills out there and see how they're relevant for kids. Because, I mean, that's really the point. I mean, you don't want to churn out just graduates with no idea how to then work in the industries they want to work in, which means that I suppose, I mean, people listening in, I mean, they're the ones that are, you know, looking after these students in all different levels. I mean, what does current industry, our current STEM industries, I mean, TI included, need from today's students as they graduate from colleges and universities or even high school? What are you sort of looking for kids to be placed and really thrive?
Yeah, you know, obviously the key or the regular things you hear continue to be important, right? So, you know, problem solving, teamwork, collaboration, critical thinking, communications, you know, they need to be good communicators. Those are absolute requirements. We need that. But, you know, I'll go someplace else because you said, you know, we can go a little off topic here.
And, go for it.
And I'll talk about something that I think is very needed in high technology and STEM industries that we don't often talk about. And that's systems thinking. And you know, that's really the ability to work with interdisciplinary teams to break down complex system level problems into smaller problems. So if you remember the old days of automotive design, right? The next generation of car, it was defined by a little more horsepower and maybe a sleeker design, a new shade of red. Well, those days are long gone, right? If you think of today's cars, well, they're complex systems of entertainment, security, communications, and driver assist. And so that means that the pace of innovation in the automotive industry, for example, is nearing that of consumer electronics. And in fact, consumer electronics are now integrated into cars. So automotive design engineers, they need to keep up. And so what were once standalone elements of the design cycle that we were talking about earlier, you know, technologies, functions, and designers, are now interdisciplinary and involve development teams who are expected to deliver a complete customer experience. And one way of achieving that is through systems thinking. And that is really working through multidisciplinary teaching and learning environments that encourage diverse ideas to solve problems. And increasingly, I believe that we will see curriculum and teaching methodologies around the world reflect this new engineering reality. So it's, you know, more simply said, it's taking a really big, complex problem, breaking it into smaller chunks, working with the best people on those small chunks, and integrating it all together on a regular basis. So the engineers, they talk with the fashion designers, they talk with medical experts, and they're the ones that are going to solve, you know, huge problems.
Yeah, I mean, systems thinking can work in all sorts of areas. And importantly, that interdisciplinary situation where you've got a kid might be an engineer or they might be a fashion designer, they're no longer siloed in any way. That's 100%. I totally agree with that. And I mean, working in the tech industry, you get to go to trade shows, you get to hear from other technologists, you know, developing cool things, which means inevitably you've seen interesting opportunities rock up. I mean, you know, interesting ways that, you know, perhaps STEM might lead and move in different ways. What are you seeing? What is hot right now in terms of STEM? I mean, it's kind of an odd way to say this, but what is the growing, you know, opportunities for kids that, you know, are soon to graduate, soon to hit the workplace? They might hit some interesting workplaces or maybe even create their own businesses. What are the interesting opportunities that are coming up in STEM that you see?
Well, yeah, you know, STEM is such a broad, it's a very short acronym, but so broad. Yes. You know, what's hot coming up, if you just look at engineering and innovation, that's going to continue to be key. And right now, the world is watching what companies around the world are doing to try to solve some of our biggest problems, to make our world smarter, safer, and of particular importance right now, healthier. And so if you look back, you know, 200 years ago, there were less than 1 billion humans living on the planet. And today, there are more than 7 billion of us. think about the enormity of the public health crisis and how it puts into perspective how technology, such as, you know, digital contact tracing, can help manage the crisis. While healthcare is an especially hot opportunity right now, so is technology, and more specifically, electrical engineering. The technology sector has grown very rapidly in the past few decades, and so has demand for those who create, understand, and develop electrical control systems, which translates into good, high-paying job opportunities for those kids. So I would also say that there is a welcome and renewed focus on diversity in engineering, both in terms of employing more women and people of color in a profession that's been historically white and male. So the bottom line is really that we can and we must do better at making STEM fields more diverse by developing a culture in which everyone feels valued, included, and accepted. So many hot things happening in STEM right now.
Yeah, I can't wait to grow up further. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens over the next few decades, for sure, considering it's really a revolution right now. This digital revolution going on is just really, really cool. And I love that you mentioned electrical engineering, because, I mean, eventually those ones and zeros need to travel along something in some way, shape, or form, and someone's got to decode it, and someone's got to make sense of it. So, you know, it's highly important, which means, so it brings us back around to the entire topic around, I mean, TIA Codes is a great platform for competition for students in Australia. If you're in Australia, you can get involved with this thing. I mean, what role does a TI play in education within Australia? Is it just with TIA Codes, or is it a bit broader than that?
Well, no, in TI, well, clearly, yes, we are absolutely excited about our TI Codes contest, and we do believe that that's going to help students visualize their own possibilities in engineering, right? I can tell you about what's hot and everything, but the reality is these kids are going to be solving problems that we don't even know we have today. So the TI Codes contest will help kids, you know, visualize their own possibilities in engineering, which can not only fuel innovation in Australia, but also underpins many of the exciting career paths that they might be considering. So at TI, our goal is to provide the best technology and resources to help Australian students develop a strong foundation in maths and science, setting them up for success in the classroom and university and into exciting careers in the future. And so in Australia, we have a local team that's focused on making sure that we collaborate with teachers across the country, listening to them, because, you know, and more important sometimes is watching them, you know, because often you can ask teachers, and I was a teacher, right? You know, what is the hardest thing in the classroom right now? What are your biggest challenges? And, you know, I'll have answers. Teachers have answers. But then when you watch them in a classroom setting, you might see what they're talking about. But, you know, you might also see other opportunities to help them in ways that maybe the teacher wasn't thinking about in their answer to you. So, you know, we have local teams to work very closely with teachers to understand, you know, what does the effective and appropriate use of technology look like in a classroom to really help students grasp those sometimes challenging concepts in math and science. And I think even more important, you know, how do you make STEM relevant and fun for students very early on, and keep it fun and relevant for students all through their secondary education so that they want to pursue a STEM career? That's what's really important. You know, when I think about this, Ben, you know, one of the biggest, what depresses me the most about STEM is that if you look over the last 10 years, student interest in STEM has remained flat. I find that incredibly just sad, because with all of the exciting things going around and all of these kids, young kids going into STEM saying, hey, I want to be an engineer. I want to be a doctor. I want to be an astronaut. I want to be a teacher. Then they go into secondary school, and all of a sudden, so many of them drop out of that. Then they want to do something else. And it's not because they love the something else. It's because, oh, I'm not good at math, or, you know, this is too hard. And I find that is a big problem. And that's what we do with our local teams in Australia and really around the world to help bring those subjects to life, get more kids passionate about pursuing STEM, and give kids the confidence to excel in those subjects so that they can take more advanced STEM subjects in the future. So that's a subject I'm very, very passionate about, as you can tell. So sorry.
And so you should be. And so you should be. I reckon so. I mean, considering that, of course, I mean, if you wind all the way back before you're working with TI, I mean, you're in the classroom and you've seen this firsthand. I mean, you've seen these kids grow and change. And the reality is that nowadays, and you know, STEM is a thing, and it pervades so many industries. It's not just in technology. It's all over the place. I mean, even if you work as a hairdresser, you might want to set up a website, for example. You're going to need to know how to code a little bit. It's having that ability to understand systems and put things together is a very relevant thing, not only now, but decades from now. It's very, very important.
Yeah, I agree.
No, absolutely. So, and then this is the thing. If you're listening in, this contest, TI contest, TI codes contest is coming. You can still enter up until mid-October. You totally can. And tell you what, we'll put this link in the show notes. But what you could do is type in TI codes Australia. So TI codes Australia or Texas Instruments TI codes Australia. Either way, into Google, your favorite search engine or whichever one it is, you will find it for sure. Look up education.ti.com. And have a bit of a search through there. You will find the contest and go from there. Hey, any final thoughts around growing our kids into STEM careers, Peter?
Well, you know, first, I know many of your listeners are educators of you know, secondary school, university. So first, I'd like to say, you know, STEM education is a heroic endeavor that really requires a lot of effort across many people. And it's going to take all of us working to give students those positive experiences in STEM. And so, as I mentioned, you know, too often kids are find learning the fundamentals of math and science boring and too difficult, so they give up. We have to stop that, you know. And at TI, our approach is to make STEM skills relevant to what students love. And let's face it, the days of fabricated word problems, canned data from textbooks, those days are long over. And they're probably the fastest way of turning kids from math lovers into math haters, to be honest. But kids need to get excited about learning this stuff. And you know, in terms of final thoughts, bouncing off something you said earlier, you know, STEM skills give kids a leg up regardless of what career path they choose, even if they choose to not go a non-STEM path. You know, systems thinking, or hey, problem solving, teamwork, collaboration, communications, these are all important STEM skills too. And so I hold by my statement that STEM skills are survival skills for kids today, and really an incomplete understanding of STEM equates to an incomplete understanding of the world. So we can't have kids backing away from math and science. We need to bring those subjects to life and open up students' eyes to potential exciting careers in STEM.
And this is one of these things. I mean, often we like to label skills. I mean, often this idea of, you know, teamwork and all that sort of thing being called soft skills. Can we just call them skills, please? Because I mean, the reality is that as you, not just on, whether you're on a production line or if you're in an R&D department or in a boardroom or whatever, all of those skills apply in every single situation. So can we just call them skills, please? Because they're useful. It's an important thing to do. And obviously, I mean, if you can, if you are going to move into a STEM industry, spending some time to work with it, in the various fields and getting a bit of a feel for what you love, what you enjoy, what you, you know, not only good at, but where can you see it taking you? So it's very important. And I love that this competition will certainly help them out with, exploring something interesting. I mean, food technology is a thing that's growing and changing and whatnot, but then applying coding to it. Now that's interesting. And I think it's a fantastic idea. Hey, Peter, thanks so much for popping on the podcast. I mean, I suspect you've been quite flat out lately. I mean, just before you head off, what's anything new coming up? Or is it all a bit under wraps for a little while?
Anything well, new? There's always new things coming up, right? Yeah. But unfortunately, I can't share what's on our product roadmaps. But be on the lookout for regular content engaging the students. Look, you know, if we want to attract the best and brightest minds into fields that will move us forward, we need to keep students engaged in STEM subjects. And it isn't, Ben, to your point, it isn't one product or practice alone that can accomplish this. It really takes a holistic approach to ensure both educators and students have tools and information they need to succeed. So from TI, you can expect continued innovation for both teachers and students. And our goal is really to help those students get a solid foundation in maths and science. We want to set them up for success in their classrooms today, even if that means the kitchen table or their bedrooms right now. Those are the classrooms. But we want to set them up for success in university and in those exciting STEM careers in the future. We are counting on them to solve some of the world's biggest problems. So there's a, it's a high stakes topic for us at Texas Instruments.
No, I agree. Well, thank you very much, Peter Belita, for joining me. Well done for pulling this all together and getting it out to, the, to classrooms all over the globe. It's really, really cool. And again, if you're in Australia, guys, you can definitely join this contest. You still have time. You got till mid-October. So I'll put those links into the show notes and you can always click in and go find out more. So Peter, thanks. Have a fantastic afternoon. I'm going to have a fantastic morning.
And thank you, Ben. You have a great day. Hey, have a great weekend.
Oh, exactly. Absolutely right. Much appreciated. Have a fantastic afternoon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
We hope you've been enjoying the Physics Ed podcast. We love making science make sense. Why don't you book us for a science show or workshop in your school? If you're outside of Australia, you can connect with us via a virtual excursion. See our website for more.
Well, there we go. We just heard from Peter Belita, who you can really tell is highly passionate about getting kids into STEM. And this is the thing, the TI Codes contest will certainly help you do that. And what I love about it is that it's quite wide open. Yeah, it's about food technology, but within that, you can pretty much do whatever you want. So maybe you can get your students into, I don't know, programming a drone to maybe do interesting food delivery. Maybe you can make a smart packaging for food, perhaps in the new few years, it could be used one day. Or maybe it could be about using sustainable agriculture in some way that's new and exciting and different, and your students can use their creativity to come up with an interesting solution. So all sorts of interesting ideas, I'm sure, will come out of this contest. And that's the thing, that contests do force you to think in interesting ways. So type in TI Codes Contest Australia into your favorite search engine. You will find the website and find out a little bit more. And by the way, you do have till mid-October to submit something. And yes, the kids are going on holiday soon, but here's the thing. I know you'll know of a few kids that might just want to get into this and just shoot them a quick email or whatever it is, that however you communicate with them, they might want to start creating something and get their submissions in. So I hope you can get involved. And that's it for this particular week. As usual, we have more and more things coming up throughout the Phys Ed podcast. I'm having a lot of fun with doing this, I must say. You've been listening to me, Ben Newsome from Phys Education, and you've been listening to this, the Phys Ed podcast, and I'll catch you another time.
You've been listening to another Physics Ed podcast. We're excited about science. Subscribe to us on iTunes to download the next episode as soon as it's released. And don't forget, for hundreds of ideas, free experiments, our new Be Amazing book, and more, go to physicseducation.com.au. That's physics spelled F-I-Z-Z-I-C-S.
This podcast is part of the Australian Educators Online Network. AEON.net.au